الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. In our previous classes we have been discussing the definition and the interpretation of al-Iman, and that al-Iman, it consists of every aspect of the religion. And the whole deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is considered iman and faith, beginning with the creed in the heart and the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He is the one and only, the creator and sustainer and the provider of the heavens and the earth, and that He is alive and He never dies, and He has no beginning and no end, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything besides Him is His creation and under His command and will, and is a slave to Him, tabaraka wa ta'ala, and that He is the most kind and merciful, and He, from His mercy, He sent messengers throughout history with revelation and clarification of guidance, and the final and the seal of all messengers is Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the last of all revelation is the revelation of Al-Quran Al-Kareem. This is the foundation of that faith, and stemming from there and branching from there, there is love and sincerity and purity of intention and hope and fear and surrender and servitude and trust and reliance and humbleness and humility, and these are the affairs of the heart. And likewise, there is the testimony of faith that's upon the tongue of a believer. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And he says it with his tongue and he means it in his heart. He says it with his tongue and he means it in his heart, meaning he believes it in his heart, that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that everything that is worshipped besides Allah is falsehood and not worthy of worship. And that Muhammad ibn Abdullah and Qurayshi al-Hashimi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's the slave and prophet and messenger of Allah. This is what the believer, he says with his tongue and he believes in his heart. And likewise, all of the statements of goodness from the tasbih and the takbir and the tahmid and the tahleel and praising and supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the adhkar in the morning and in the evenings and after the salawat and the recitation of the Quran, and advising the people with good in this life and the hereafter, and their deen and in their dunya, and warning people from evil. All of this is done with the tongue. And this is called iman. And this, whenever it is done with the tongue and the heart as well, sincerity and purity for the sake of Allah, it will be iman. And likewise, the actions on the body parts, all of them, all of the legislated actions that one is required to perform or encouraged to perform, or all of the forbidden actions that one is ordered to refrain from and to stay away from, leaving them, all of this, performing those actions hoping for the reward of Allah and leaving those other prohibitions fearing the punishment of Allah, all of this is iman. All of this is al-iman. فَالْإِيمَانُ قَوْلٌ وَعَمَلٌ وَاعْتِقَادٌ يَزِيدُ وَيَنْقُصُ يَزِيدُ وَيَنْقُصُ. This is the summarization of what has preceded. And after understanding that, then based upon that, the people of al-Iman, with regards to this creed and this belief and these actions of the heart and tongue and body parts, they're not all on one level. Some of them perform those actions better than others. Some of them establish those rights in a better manner than others. Although all of them, they establish them. Some of them, they establish more of them. But they all share in the establishment of the foundation of that. So based upon this affair, the belief, the iman, it increases and decreases. And based upon that, the people of al-iman, they're not all one level. Rather, they are categories and ranks. And to summarize, there are three ranks. And this has been clarified in the hadith of Jibreel. In the hadith of Jibreel, alayhi salam, which is muttafaqun alayhi. Yani from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and it's also in Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Umar radiallahu anhu. And it's clarified here that the religion is al-Islam wa al-Imanu wa al-Ihsan, and the deen thalatha maratib, ثلاث مراتب الإسلام والإيمان والإحسان. And likewise is clarified in this verse that we have been studying in Surah Al-Fatir. That the author, Sheikh Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, and he clarifying this issue. The verse that Allah, he mentioned, ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا. And then we have caused to inherit the book, meaning the revelation, meaning this Quran, those whom we have selected and chosen from our slaves, meaning this ummah, the followers of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَمِنْهُمْ يعني من أهل الاستفاء منهم من those people who have been chosen, that have inherited the book. Any from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. We have seen him, that he has مطلق الإيمان, but he didn't complete his faith, that he fell deficient in performing some of the rites of Iman, or he perpetrated some of the prohibitions, and therefore his faith is present, and he shares with the believers the name of faith and the title of faith, but his faith is deficient. So therefore, his reward is deficient accordingly. And likewise, his guidance is deficient accordingly. And his protection from the anger and the punishment of Allah and the fire is deficient, yani, accordingly. He's exposed to these affairs according to the deficiency of his faith. They called him, Allah called him, ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ, the one who oppresses his own soul. وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَسِدٍ, from them, the one who takes the middle course. He's the one who fulfills the obligations, that which is upon him. He fulfills them properly in the manner required. And he avoids the prohibitions entirely. And he is the one who has completed the obligations of faith. وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, and from them there are those who hasten, are first and foremost to doing good by their permission of Allah. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْفَضْلُ الْكَبِيرُ. This is the great grace and bounty from Allah. And to be from these three categories of people. So even to be from the ظالم لنفسه is a فضل من الله. And a greater فضل is to be from المقتسد. To be مقتسد. And even the greater فضل from Allah عز وجل is to be سابق بالخيرات بإذن الله تعالى. So all of them, they have the فضل of Allah عز وجل. All of them, they have the grace of Allah. But the amount of that grace and mercy and the amount of that kindness and that help and aid they have is according to their faith. And their faith begins in their heart with the creed and the actions of the heart. And then the actions of the tongue and the body parts. So based upon that creed and those actions, will determine where they're at. From the fadl of Allah Azza wa Jal. From the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal. From the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. We seen yesterday another brief interpretation that's slightly different, but it's the same. And he helping to clarify these three categories. The one who oppresses his own soul, he's the one who obeys Allah. But he also disobeys Allah. He's the one who obeys Allah, but he also disobeys Allah. As for the one who is in the middle course, he obeys Allah, but he doesn't disobey Allah, but he suffices with that which is incumbent upon him. He suffices with that. And as for those who are first and foremost and proceeding in good, there are those who obey Allah and do not disobey him. And they hasten and they strive and compete in the ranks of goodness by performing that which is not obligatory, and after establishing the obligations and avoiding and leaving off some of the things that are not impermissible out of fear of falling into that which is some of the things that are not impermissible out of feeling out of fear of falling into something that is impermissible in this manner. So this is their ranks. There are some brief benefits remaining with regards to this noble verse. From them is the arrangement that is mentioned here. And Shaykh Muhammad al-Amin al-Shaqiti, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned this affair. Yani that the people of Najd, they discussed this issue. Why did Allah begin with the one who oppresses his own soul and end with the one who is hastening to do good? Is there a wisdom here? What is the wisdom behind this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whenever he mentioned the people that he has chosen and selected and caused to inherit his book from his slaves that he chose, he mentioned those who oppress their own souls first, and then those on the middle course, and lastly, he mentioned subhanahu wa ta'ala, those first and foremost in doing good by the permission of Allah. Those first and foremost in doing good by the permission of Allah. One of the statements of the people of knowledge with regards to this, or the wisdom in this affair that has been mentioned, is that the majority of the people, they are from those who oppress their own souls. So he began with them, subhanahu wa ta'ala, from this aspect. The majority of the people of Jannah are from those who oppress their own souls, subhanallah. Subhanallah. This is yani, something to ponder and to reflect upon. The majority of the people, so therefore Allah, He began with them, because they're the majority. But Allah's mercy encompasses them. And Allah's grace encompasses them, and forgiveness encompasses them, alhamdulillah. Another reason that has been mentioned is because so that those who oppress their own souls, they will not despair. The very first one to be mentioned, from those who Allah has chosen from His slave to inherit the book, that have the promise, جَنَّةُ عَدْنٍ يَدْخُلُونَهَا, of entering paradise. He began with them, so that they will not have despair, and they will not give up hope in the mercy of Allah. So Allah began with them for this reason. And Allah closed and mentioned very last, those who are hastening to do good, so they will not become amazed with their own actions. And likewise, there's an indication in this in the verse. وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, by the permission of Allah. So those who hasten to do good, they should not be deceived by their actions. They should not be affected by al-ujub, wal-ghurur, and be amazed with their own deeds, because it's only by the permission of Allah. It's only by the permission of Allah. The command is Allah's. The people, they're the slave of Allah. Some of them, He chose them to be disbelievers, and they will be from the people of the hellfire. Others, He has chosen them to be believers. From them, He has selected those who will be those who oppress their own soul, and He will show them mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from them, there are those who take a middle course, higher in rank, and He will likewise show them mercy, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there are those He has selected that will be the first and foremost, and the closest and nearest to Him. وَرَبُّكَ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَيَخْتَارُ, and your Lord, He creates whatever He wills, and He chooses, and He selects. As for you and I, we do not know. We do not know where we are from in the categories, and how our fate will be, what we will die upon. We hope that we will die upon the first and foremost, but at least we want to die upon al-Islam, al-Islam. And like this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been authentically reported in the Sunan from the Haditha Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, that which will help clarify these terms again. The supplication and the janazah. The supplication and the janazah. Who knows the supplication? Allahumma khfir li hayyina wa mayyitina wa shahidina wa ghaibina wa saghirina wa kabirina wa dhakirina wa unthana. Allahumma man ahyaytahu minna fa ahyihi ala al-Islam. وَمَنْ تَوَفَّيْتُهُ مِنَّا فَتَوَفَّهُ عَلَى الْإِيمَانِ. And the point and the shahid from the supplication that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is in the janazah prayer, praying for the janazah. Oh Allah, the one that You have caused to live from amongst us, cause him to live upon al-Islam. And the one who You take his soul from amongst us, then take his soul upon al-Iman. Al-Iman. Now we have principles we studied in the previous classes, and now we have these two terms mentioned together in one context. So how do we understand this? What is the benefit that we take now? Oh Allah, this is in the janazah prayer. Oh Allah, those who You cause to live from amongst us, cause him to live upon al-Islam. And those whom You take his soul from amongst us, take his soul upon al-Iman. What is the principle whenever that these two words are mentioned separately? They have the same meaning. And whenever they're mentioned together, they have different meaning. What are those different meanings? Islam is referring to the outward actions. The outward actions. The testification in the Hadith Jibreel. In the Hadith Jibreel, alayhi salam. And the Iman is referring to the inward actions. The actions of creed and belief. And the inward actions. So here we have them mentioned together. O Allah, the one that You cause to live from amongst us, cause him to live upon al-Islam. Because so long as somebody is alive, he has to be working. He has to be working. He has to be applying the legislation. Yani, from this. And as for the one who is dying, it's not time to work. The time to work now, the time for application is over for this person. He's dying. There's no. The only thing he can do now is move his heart and hope for the mercy of Allah. وَلَا يَمُتَنَّ أَحَدُكُمْ إِلَّا وَأَنَّهُ يُحْسِنُ الظَّنَّ بِاللَّهِ. Not one of you should die except he has a good opinion about Allah, a good hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore we see the benefit of this, how these terms, they have different meanings and different rulings, and benefits are derived from them in this aspect. So a believer, he will not despair if he has sins and shortcomings and deficiencies. And likewise, he will not be amazed with his actions if he has good in his deen. Rather, he will be humble and submissive. Rather, he will be humble and submissive, and he will know that all of this is from the favor of Allah. There's no way for him to leave those sins except with the permission and the help and the aid of Allah. And there's no way for him to achieve and to do those good deeds. He was not able to do those good deeds except with the help and the success from Allah. So in every situation, those from this ummah here, from these people that are chosen, they will always rely upon Allah and depend upon Allah. And this is what they share together, faith and belief in Allah. Humbleness and submission and surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In our previous class, we closed with the portion the author he's mentioning about the issue of iman being coupled in one context with other aspects that are in reality from iman, and from the actions, either from the actions of the body parts or even the actions of the heart. And sometimes iman will be mentioned along with the righteous deeds. Other times iman will be mentioned along with taqwa, piety. Sometimes iman will be mentioned along with sabr, along with patience. And patience is from iman, and taqwa is from iman, and the righteous deeds is from iman. But the wisdom behind this is to clarify the importance of this affair, to clarify the importance of the thing that's mentioned along with it, and that someone would not be deluded or misunderstand that it's sufficient to suffice with that which is in the heart only. Rather, it's incumbent to have the actions coupled with iman. So therefore, they're mentioned after the mention of iman to clarify the importance of that affair. And so the actions, they are from iman. And the actions, they are that which iman requires and necessitates. And whenever it's strong, then the actions are strong. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned, إِنَّ فِي الْجَسَدِ مُضْغَةً إِذَا صَلَحَتْ صَلَحَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ وَإِذَا فَسَدَتْ فَسَدَ الْجَسَدُ كُلُّهُ أَلَّا وَهِيَ الْقَلْبُ. That verily in the body there's a piece of flesh. If it's good, the whole body is good. And if it's corrupt, the whole body is corrupt. And verily it is the heart. This is the place of the iman. So if the heart is full of iman, the actions, they are strong accordingly. The actions and that which is in the heart are coupled, yani completely. According to that faith in the heart will determine the actions exactly. Exactly. The actions will never be better than that which is in the heart, or worse than that which is in the heart. If there are good actions, that's because of what is in the heart is good. And if there are bad actions, that's because of what is in the heart is bad. They're coupled together exactly. The good comes. If the salahat, salah al-jasadu kullu. With the fasadat, fasada al-jasadu kullu. If that which is in the heart is upright, the whole body is upright. If the heart is corrupted, then the whole body is corrupted. And so therefore, the actions and the faith is according. And the actions are from faith. And then the faith necessitates and requires the actions. And then the faith becomes perfect and complete likewise by the actions. By the actions. And this is from the benefits the author he mentioned that we read in the previous class, that a believer he should take note of that. And he be aware of these affairs. And know about this. And this is the affair of his heart. And we all should be very cautious and having great concern of our hearts, the condition of our hearts, and likewise the heart of our families and those under our care. The heart is something that is unseen, but the actions, they are seen. So we can use the actions as a proof to determine that which is in the heart of an individual. The actions and the statements, they clarify that which is in the heart. Even the people of knowledge, some of them of the Salaf, they mentioned that the heart is like pots, and the tongues are like the spoons that you dish out that which is in the pot. And you saw a person, and just the way that you take a big spoon and you dish out the food out of the pot and you taste it with your tongue, if you want to taste the sweetness or the bitterness of a person's heart or of his faith, then wait for him to speak. He will dish out that which is in his heart. So this is the issue, the actions here. Likewise, at taqwa, this is where we stop. The author, he mentioned, rahimahullah, kama yaqrinu bayna al-imani wa taqwa fi mithli qawlihi ta'ala. Also, as well, Allah Azza wa Jal, he couples or combines in the mention of al-iman with at taqwa. al-Iman and the taqwa. In the likes of the statement of Allah the Most High, Ala inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. Verily the awliya of Allah, and verily the awliya, and those whom Allah loves, those beloved believers, impious and righteous believers of Allah, they have no fear and nor do they grieve whatsoever. Then if somebody were to say, who are they? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the very next verse, He clarifies. In tafsir al-Qur'an, bil-Qur'an, alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. They are those who believe and they have taqwa. And they have taqwa. So the reality is that taqwa is from iman. If we mention iman by itself, taqwa is included. If we mention taqwa by itself, iman is included. Both of them, they're terms that include the whole religion. The whole religion is al-iman. The whole religion is at-taqwa. The whole religion is taqwa. At-taqwa is to perform the obligations upon a light from Allah, upon knowledge, hoping for the reward of Allah, and to avoid the prohibitions upon a light from Allah, fearing the punishment of Allah. Fearing the punishment of Allah. This is the whole religion. This is the whole religion. But now whenever they're mentioned together, iman here is referring to that which is in the heart and the performance of the righteous deeds. And at-taqwa is referring to leaving off that which is forbidden. And taqwa is leaving off that which is forbidden. So from here, the people of knowledge, they mention the importance of taqwa. So now we see that now they're mentioned together. So now the point is to clarify the importance of taqwa. And what taqwa is referring to now is leaving off that which is haram. Leaving off that which is haram. So from iman is leaving off that which is haram. So it's emphasized now. This is an emphasis. Those who believe that this is their trait, the true awliya of Allah, the wali, he's the one who Allah loves him. Allah loves him. He's the wali of Allah. He's the wali of Allah. It's not something that he claims that I love Allah. No, of course he loves Allah, but Allah loves him. The true awliya of Allah, Allah loves them. They're the believers that whom Allah loves them. Allah, He loves all of the believers, and He to a degree, that's where He guided them. But they're the ones who have a great amount of the love of Allah, and the protection of Allah, and the help of Allah, and the guidance of Allah, and the grace of Allah, and the mercy of Allah. They're at a high rank of faith. And He from those muqtasideen and those above. They're from those muqtasideen and those above. From their traits here, this is the point. And that mentioning here that they believe. Of course they believe. And establishing the deen. But from their traits specifically, وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. And they used to fear Allah by leaving and avoiding everything that's impermissible and doubtful. And everything that is haram and not allowed. They avoid that and leave that. So this is from the traits of those people. This is from iman. But to emphasize this affair. From this reason, some of the people of knowledge, they mention that they say يَفْعَلُ أَعْمَالِ الْبِرِّ الْبَرُّ وَالْفَاجِرِ يَفْعَلُ أَعْمَالِ الْبِرِّ وَالْبَرُّ وَالْفَاجِرِ. That performing the actions of righteousness, doing the good deeds like prayer and fasting and giving charity and making hajj and the likes like this, the good Muslims and the bad Muslims, they all do this. يَفْعَلُ أَعْمَالِ الْبِرِّ الْبَرُّ وَالْفَاجِرِ. The righteous and the wicked, any from them. And meaning the ظَالِمْ لِنَفْسِهِ, the muqtasid, and who? السَّابِقُونَ بِالْخَيْرَانِ. All of them, they're doing the righteous deeds. All of them are doing the good deeds. But they mention, وَلَا يَقْوَى عَلَى تَرْكِ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ إِلَّا السِّدِّيقُونَ. But no one is able to leave off the haram except for the one who has the high level of truthfulness. Yani the siddiq. Yani which has preceded. And so all of the believers, they're performing the righteous and good deeds in general. They share in that. But the righteous and those awliya of Allah, from their specific characteristics that raise them above the rest, is that they avoid the haram. Is that they leave off that which is impermissible. That they're afraid of Allah. That they would transgress His boundaries. That they would enjoy something that is not allowed. That they would enjoy a lust that is impermissible. That they would use the blessings of Allah in the disobedience of Allah. That they'll use the blessings of the eye, for example, or the hands, or the wealth, or the health, and the ability, the mind. And some people, they have a very sharp mind, very bright, and they use it to deceive the people. And they use it to trick the people. Some of them, they get on Twitter and they're real good with that. Putting tweets out and deceiving the people. And making them believe something and it's not even true. Or it's not even completely true. And using their intelligence, which is a blessing from Allah, and the disobedience of Allah, and to harm the people. And just as an example. Just as an example, where the tongue likewise is a blessing from Allah. People use that to backbite the people, or to harm the people, or to trick the people. The gift of gab, to misguide the people. To people, waliyadu billah. So from the traits of faith, and the specific traits of those people that have the high ranks, is that they fear Allah from these affairs. They fear Allah from these affairs. So therefore we see the benefit of mentioning now at-taqwa coupled with iman. We understand the point?
Yeah.
Also the point of mentioning the righteous deeds after iman. Aren't the righteous deeds from iman?
Yeah.
Isn't taqwa from iman?
Yeah.
What's the benefit of mentioning coupled together like this now? To emphasize the importance of this affair specifically, so that one wouldn't just suffice with that which is in the heart, or think that it's sufficient just to do this affair. Perform that, it, for example, when we hear these affairs now, to think that it's sufficient just to say that he believes, and then to not do righteous deeds. And Allah, he mentions in many verses, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. How many times that has come. And then also to think that it's sufficient that we just, we believe in Allah and we perform the obligations. As for the prohibitions, we have no shyness and no shame. لا الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون وكانوا يتقون. So emphasizing now the issue of a taqwa. This is subhanAllah, any beautiful advice. In reality, this is guidance from Allah Azza wa Jal, giving sincere advice to the slaves. وَيُحَذِّرُكُمُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. وَاللَّهُ رَؤُوفٌ بِالْعِبَادِ. This is beautiful guidance. This is guidance that we're discussing now. This is the words of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is how He's guiding the slaves. If we have knowledge, it's light for us. If we have knowledge, it's light for us. Now the guidance, it goes in our hearts. Sometimes maybe we read these affairs, but without having these usul, without having these keys and fundamentals, we're not able to ponder and reflect over these verses. With having these usul and these fundamentals, knowing these basics, and these foundations of knowledge, now the recitation of the Quran comes to life in the heart of a believer. Now the pondering opens up, his heart will open, and he's able to reflect, and he will see many meanings he didn't used to see. He will see many meanings that he didn't used to see, and he will understand much more. And this in reality is the way the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught the companions. And this is how they learned the Quran. And it's been narrated from Jundub ibn Abdullah al-Bajri, radiallahu anhu, that he said, kunna hazawira. Fityan Hazawira ma Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We were young boys around the age of puberty, close to the age of puberty, along with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Fata'allamna al-Iman qabla al-Quran. And we learned faith, we learned Iman. What is the book about? Iman. We learned Iman before al-Quran. Thumma ta'allamna al-Quran fazdadna bihi Iman. And then we learned the Quran and we increased in faith. And we increased in faith. We understand that? So this is a great point to realize any the importance of learning the foundations and the fundamentals of the religion. And learning them properly, learning them well. What does that mean to learn them? Now that we know what faith is. Because learning is faith. Sah? Learning is iman. So the one who's truly learning, what is he doing? Huh? Acting. He's learning to act. He's learning to act. This is what Imam Ahmad, he mentioned, rahimahullah. كَيْفَ يُكُونَ الْإِخْلَاصُ فِي طَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ. How will sincerity and the purity of intention occur in seeking knowledge? And تَنْوِيَ رَفْعَ الْجَهْلِ أَنْ نَفْسِكَ وَأَنْ غَيْرِكَ. That you intend to remove ignorance from yourself and from others. And to worship Allah upon clarity, upon insight. To worship Allah upon clarity and upon insight, with your heart and with your tongue and with your body parts. And to help others do that likewise. And to help others do that likewise. So they need to learn in order to apply it. To learn and then apply it. This is very important. We studied Usul al-Thalatha. Before that we studied Usul al-Sitta. Wa al-Qawaid al-Arba. Usul al-Thalatha. We studied Kitab al-Tawheed. A number of books, alhamdulillah, Akhlaq al-Ulama, Akhlaq Hamalat al-Quran. A person, he should ask himself, where am I with these books? Where am I at with these books? Whenever good comes to me, where am I at? Where's Kitab al-Tawheed now? Where's Usul al-Thalatha now? Whenever Allah, He blesses me with wealth and health and family and children, where am I at now? Where's Usul al-Thalatha now? Huh? Where is Man Rabbuk? Ma Dinuk? Man Nabi? Where's that at now? Where's that at now? Whenever the trials and calamities come, hardship comes, somebody's faced with a major problem, all of a sudden, it was not there yesterday, today, next, today, all of a sudden, a phone call or an issue occurs, and now there's a calamity facing them. a hardship and a difficulty that's putting and changing the affairs of their whole life. How are they acting now? Where's Kitab al-Tawheed now? Where is Usul al-Thalatha now? Where is the knowledge now? Was that knowledge beneficial? Because if it was not, then a person, he should go back and he should check his intention. He should check his intention from the beginning, because if we learn this knowledge and then it's not beneficial for us, this is a sign we have a bad intention. Because the one who learns with a good intention, then Allah will bless him. And Allah will favor him. And Allah as-Shakur, subhanahu wa ta'ala, will give him more. He will give him more. So these, this knowledge, these keys, they have to be applied. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ يعني, so this faith, it has to be coupled with actions. Any knowledge, no doubt. The faith is knowledge. The faith, it has to be coupled with actions. Rather, the faith is actions. And the faith is actualized by actions. By actions. And from the actions, leaving off things. From the actions, leaving off things, avoiding things, and staying away from things. And also from the actions, the tongue, and a person's manner and his conduct. His manner and his conduct. May Allah give us success and make the knowledge beneficial for us. May Allah make the knowledge beneficial for us. Shaykh As-Sa'di, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, فَذَكَرَ الْإِيمَانَ الشَّامِلَةَ لِمَا فِي الْقُلُوبِ مِنَ الْأَقَاعِدِ وَالْإِرَادَاتِ الطَّيِّبَةِ وَالْأَعْمَالِ الصَّالِحَةِ وَلَا يَتِمُّ لِلْمُؤْمِنِ ذَلِكَ حَتَّى يَتَّقِيَ مَا يُسْخِطُ اللَّهِ حَتَّى يَتَّقِيَ مَا يُسْخِطُ اللَّهِ. And this is now a commentary on that previous verse, any in Surah Yunus. That verily the awliya of Allah, there's no fear upon them, and nor do they grieve, and they are those who believe and they fear Allah. Any by avoiding that which is impermissible. So the Shaykh, he mentioned now, so Allah, he mentioned here the encompassed faith, the encompassing faith, which is in the hearts from the creed and the good intentions and the righteous actions. And then he said, rahimahullah, and this will not be complete for a believer until he fears and he avoids and leaves off everything that makes Allah angry. Everything that makes Allah angry. So here in this verse, alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun, those who believe, what do we say those who believe, iman refers to now is? That which is in the heart and the righteous actions. And the taqwa refers to leaving off the sins, that which is impermissible. What happens if one, he does that which is impermissible? Allah becomes angry with him. So this is what he says. So he says in this verse now, Allah, he has mentioned the encompassing faith. The faith that includes that which is in the heart from the creeds and the good intentions. And likewise the righteous deeds. That is in the statement, alladhina amanu. Alladhina amanu. This portion of the text is explaining that part. وَلَا يَتِمُّ لِلْمُؤْمِنِ ذَلِكَ حَتَّى يَتَقِيَ مَا يُسْخِطُ اللَّهِ. And that iman, alladhina amanu, that which is in the heart from the creed and the good intentions and the righteous deeds will not be complete until a person, he leaves off that which causes Allah to be angry. وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. So therefore, I need to clarify and to emphasize from the perfection of the faith, to reach that faith, al-iman al-wajib, a person, he has to, along with believing and performing the righteous deeds, he also has to leave off that which is forbidden and impermissible. And this is from the affairs that determine the ranks. You understand that? This part here at taqwa, the issue of leaving the haram is from the determining factors of those ranks. Because all of the believers, they pray. All of the believers, they fast. All of the believers, in general, all of them, they pray. If they don't pray, they're not Muslims, huh? So they don't even have mutlaq al-iman. Mutlaq al-iman will go away with by leaving the salah, waliyadu billah. But they all pray, and they all fast. And we see this. And they all make hajj, and all of them, they give the zakat, the majority, they're giving charity. Doing different actions of righteousness, good deeds here and there. Smiling to their brothers, but not all of them are leaving off the haram. Not all of them are leaving off that. Maybe some person, he can be the first in the row, but he is also the first to commit transactions that are impermissible. That are impermissible. We understand that? So therefore, this affair here is mentioned specifically to clarify and to emphasize and to remind the believers. And in that, this is from the perfection of the faith and from the obligations of al-iman. So Allah, he mentions them in this way. So that faith will never be complete until he also, he fears that which Allah, that which makes Allah angry. من الكفر والفسوق والإسيان, from disbelief and from corruption and from disobedience. يعني من الكفر, الكفر is disbelief. الفسوق is means corruption. But what is intended here are the major sins. the major sins. Al-fusuq aw al-fisq, the people of knowledge, they mention it means al-khuruj an ta'ati Allahi wa rasulihi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-khuruj an ta'ati Allahi wa rasulihi, to go away, to turn away from the obedience of Allah. To turn away from the obedience of Allah. And whenever it's mentioned here in this context with isyan, then it's referring to the major sins. And some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that isyan will be referring to the minor sins. But in any case, the isyan is all of the, is disobedience, including all of them in general. This is another example of those words that when they come together, they have different meanings, and whenever they're separate, they have the same meanings. Al-fusuq and isyan. Al-fusuq is to disobey Allah in general, and isyan is disobedience, any all of it. But when they're mentioned together like this, some of the people of knowledge mentioned that al-fusuq, like Imam al-Sa'di himself, rahimahullah, al-fusuq is referring to the major sins. And al-isyan is referring to the minor sins. Is referring to the minor sins. Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that fusuq is with regards to perpetrating the prohibitions. And isyan is with regards to leaving off the commandments. With regards to leaving off the commandments. And he, but whenever they're mentioned alone, both of them are included. From the types of fisq is to violate, perpetrate the prohibitions. From the types of fisq is to leave off the commandments or to perform them poorly. And likewise, isyan is the same thing. But whenever they're mentioned together, then one of them is referring to this one and the other one is referring to that one in this manner like this. We understand this affair? And if the Shaykh is referring to a verse that he's going to mention now, rahimahullahu ta'ala, then he's coming to make a wonderful point. Rahimahullah. So he says, وَلِهَذَا حَقَّقَ ذَلِكَ بِقَوْلِهِ وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. So this is why Allah Azza wa Jal, he emphasized this affair, yani by mentioning directly, وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. And they used to fear Allah. And they used to fear Allah. It didn't just those who believe, yani here, and they used to fear Allah. Yani that's the awliya. That's the awliya. To emphasize this affair, because the iman will not be complete until one leaves off that which causes Allah to become angry. We understand? Alhamdulillah. كَمَا وَصَفَ اللَّهُ بِذَلِكَ خِيَارَ خَلْقِهِ بِقَوْلِهِ. And just as Allah, He has described the best of His creation, and His statement, the best of His creation, meaning from the people, the messenger. And the messenger, they have they're the leaders of this any description, but any that from the people after them. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمْ الْإِيمَانَ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ وَكَرَّهَ إِلَيْكُمْ الْكُفْرَ وَالْفُسُوقَ وَالْعِصْيَانَ أُولَئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَنِعْمَةً وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. He mentioned the verse in Surah Hujurat, the meaning of which is وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانَ. But rather, it is Allah who has caused the faith to be dear to you. But rather, it is Allah who has caused the faith to be dear to you, and He is the one who made iman beloved to you, not because of something that we've done for ourselves, and not because of a favor that we have, not because we deserve it. It's nothing that we deserve. A person, he doesn't deserve faith. Faith is fadla min Allahi wa ni'mah, is the grace from Allah and a bounty. So Allah is reminding the believers here, but rather it's Allah who has caused the faith to be beloved to you, to be dear to you, and He has adorned it and decorated it in your hearts. He has adorned it and decorated it in your hearts. What do you say now? Do you love faith? Do you love faith? When you think about the Shahada, what happens to you? You get happy. You get happy. The Shahada is the most dear thing to a believer. The dearest thing in life is Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. This is the most valuable thing that you have. This is the greatest thing that you have to hold on to, building on what we mentioned yesterday in that class, that you have to take care of the Shahada. You have to take care of the faith. You have to take care of the tree. You have to take care of the Islam. The Islam can be good and it can be bad. The faith can be strong, it can be weak. The Shahada can be heavy and it can be light. It can be light. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. So, yani, this is something that Allah, He made beloved to you. He made the faith beloved to you. He made iman salat, alhamdulillah, I love salat. You know, I believe, right, zakat, giving charity, alhamdulillah, fasting, Ramadan. Allah, how I live till next Ramadan. How much benefit that we had. How alive the hearts were in Ramadan, still carrying on. Actually, this book is carrying on from Ramadan, alhamdulillah. We read it twice in Ramadan almost. With the brothers, by the fadl and the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal. by the fadl and the grace of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is the inniya. So whenever a believer, he talks about faith, he loves it. He loves it. Why? ولكن الله حبب إليكم الإيمان وزينه في قلوبكم. Verily, it is Allah who has made the faith beloved to you, and He has decorated your hearts with it, and He has وكره إليكم الكفر. Not only that, but also He has made disbelief detestable to you, and also corruption, actions of disobedience, and all actions of disobedience and sins, and leaving off the commandments. Leaving off the commandments or being negligent and performing the obligations is detestable to you. Committing and perpetrating the sins is detestable to you. Even a believer, even if he falls victim to his soul and he tastes that brief sweetness of disobedience, after that he finds the bitterness and the harshness of that, and he dislikes that. And he has remorse. And he has remorse because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has made faith beloved and He has made disobedience to be detestable. This is the favor of Allah Azza wa Jal for the believers. Allah, He mentioned about these people that have this in their heart. وَلَيْكُمْ رَاشِدُونَ. They're the ones who are upright. They're the ones who are rightly guided. They're the ones who are rightly guided. Ar-Rashiduna is from Ar-Rushd. Ar-Rushd or Rashad. And Ar-Rushd, any Ar-Rashidun, whenever it's mentioned like this by itself, what is intended here is Al-Muhtadun. Any of those people who are guided in their creed and belief, and likewise in their actions and deeds. They're the people upright in their creed and belief, and likewise in their actions and their deeds. Ahlul Rashad, Ahlul Rushd, like this. But whenever a Rushd is mentioned with Al-Huda, or Al-Hidayah, that Hidayah is referring to the perfection of knowledge. And the Rushd is referring to the perfection of the actions. And from those terms again, just to mention that there are other terms like this. So a Rushd with Hidayah, whenever they're mentioned separate, then Ar-Rushd means Hidayah and Hidayah means Rushd. They both include the perfection of knowledge and application. But whenever they're mentioned together in one context, then Ar-Rushd is referring to the actions, the perfection of the actions, and the Hidayah is referring to the perfection of the knowledge. So therefore, Hidayah is the opposite of Dhalal. And Ar-Rushd is the opposite of Al-Ghiwayah. Al-Ghiwayah. We understand that? Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He described His Prophet with both of them. مَا ضَلَّ صَحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى. He negated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-dhalal and al-ghiwayah. So therefore he has complete hidayah and rushd. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described his khulafa al-rashideen with both of them. Huh? What did he say? عَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّةِ وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاء الرَّاشِدِينَ الْمَهْدِيِّينَ مِنْ بَعْدِي تَمَسَّكُوا بِهَا وَعَضُوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِدِ الراشدين المهديين. He described them likewise with Ar-Rushd and Al-Hidayah. And so they have the blessing that Allah He gave His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that's why they're called Al-Mun'am alayhim. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. وَمَنْ يُطِعَ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَئِكَ رَفِيقًا. What's after that? ذَلِكَ بِفَضْلُ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ عَلِيمًا. And the point again here, that the fadl is from Allah. The fadl, the grace, and even for that affair, and it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore it is Allah who has called the faith to be beloved, has caused the faith to be beloved to you, and He has decorated your hearts with it, and He has caused disbelief and corruption and disobedience, any of the major sins and minor sins, and he perpetrating the prohibitions and leaving off the commandments. All of this is detestable to you. This is a favor from Allah and a blessing. And these people here, they are rightly guided. فَضْلَ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَنِعْمَةً. A grace from Allah and a blessing. وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. And Allah, He is the most knowledgeable and wise. So therefore Allah, He knows with His knowledge and with His wisdom who deserves to be guided. So therefore, this is also clarifying the fact that the Ummah is chosen and selected. Chosen and selected. We understand that? Because Allah is Alim and Hakim. And He mentioned these names here, and He ending these verses with these names. So that's an indication that the rulings derived from these verses have a relationship with these names specifically. So Allah, He is the all-knowledgeable and He is the all-wise. That's why He gave His grace and His mercy to those people. Because He knows that they are the ones who deserve it. Again, how should you feel? you should be happy. You should be thankful, and that should make you humble. Should make you humble and make you submissive. So now the Shaykh is going to emphasize this affair for us. And this is a great benefit he mentions. فَهَذِهِ أَكْبَرُ الْمِنَنْ فَهَذِهِ أَكْبَرُ الْمِنَنْ That this is the greatest of all bounties. This is the greatest of all bounties and blessings. The greatest of all bestowments and favors. Minan is the plural of minna. Al-minna is a bestowment. Any a favor that a person is given. He's given a blessing and a bounty, and he just a favor and a grace. This is the greatest of it. And yuhabbiba al-imana lil-abd, that Allah, He will make iman beloved to a person. Wuyuzayyinahu fi qalbihi, and He will adorn it and decorate it in his heart. Wuyudhiqahu halawatahu, and He will cause him to taste the sweetness of that faith. Watanqada jawarihuhu lil-amali bi-shira'i al-islam, and his body parts will comply to the application of the sacred rites of Al-Islam. وَيُبَغِضَ إِلَيْهِ أَسْنَافَ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ And Allah, He will make detestful to Him all different types of impermissible affairs. وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِمَنْ يَسْتِحِقُ أَنْ يَتَفَضَّلَ عَلَيْهِ بِهَذَا الْفَضْلِ And Allah, He is all knowledgeable of the one who deserves for Him to bestow upon Him this grace. حَكِيمٌ فِي وَضْعِهِ فِي مَحَلِّهِ أَلَّائِقِ بِهِ And He is most wise in putting that grace in the place that is suitable for it. So if you're a believer, then it's from the knowledge of Allah, that is from the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jal, that He knows that you deserve that grace. And from the wisdom of Allah, that He put that in your heart and not another's heart, because it's a place that is rightful. It's a place that is rightful. That's all derived from Wallahu Alimun Hakim, after mentioning these verses. And so again, this is pondering over these affairs. Any person, he should really humble himself and show thanks for Islam. Alhamdulillah, Allah guided me. Many years ago, maybe some of us would be enemies. It was not long ago, and I was not a Muslim. Maybe you are a Muslim, I was a kafir. If I had met you, I would hate you, and if you met me, you would hate me. And what you were upon, I didn't used to like that. And what I was upon, you didn't used to like that. And we would not get along. And you come this way, and I go that way. And you will say this, and I will say something different. And you will love this. You will be making wudu and going to prayer, and I'm going to go somewhere else we don't want to talk about. You understand? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided me and guided you, guided like this. And at one time, this is the case. This is a favor from Allah. How it happened, it's not from me. Allah, He guided me to Islam, alhamdulillah. He guided you to Islam, alhamdulillah. He guided us to the Sunnah, alhamdulillah. It's a favor from Allah. We have to show thanks. The Shahada is something that you have to be, it's precious. You have to hold on to it. You have to keep it clean. You have to keep it good. Your faith, you have to keep it good. You have to be concerned with your heart. Be concerned with your deen. You just can't let your eyes wander all the time. You can't just say whatever you like. You have to check yourself. And preservation of the faith. And preservation of the faith. And preservation of the deen. And showing thanks to Allah for the guidance of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what we have to do. This is what this requires from us. Whenever we bear witness, it's a covenant with Allah. It's a promise with Allah. You bear witness, there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. That means you swear to Allah. You will not worship anybody, not with your heart, and not with your tongue, and not with your hands, not with your eyes. You will not worship any. That means the worship is obedience. You will not surrender and submit to nobody but Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. You're not going to follow nobody else besides Him. You're not going to put the statement of anybody. No great sheikh, no great scholar, no famous person in front of the statement of the messenger ever. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the promise that you have, a covenant that we have with Allah. Naam, that must be fulfilled, that must be kept. May Allah help us keep that and return that trust. The soul is a trust. Likewise. The soul is a trust. Likewise. How are you going to return the soul? How is the soul going to return back to its creator? We hope that it returns back pure. How does it return back pure? By fulfilling the rites of the Shahada, by holding fast to the religion, by keeping the faith strong, by taking the means to be a good believer, by not sufficing with general knowledge of Islam, but rather learning the details and climbing up the ranks of faith, climbing up the ranks of faith, moving, perfecting the religion, trying to perfect the deen, trying to please Allah, trying to leave off desires and whims, trying to stop opposing the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like this, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. الله أكبر. So those who strive in the path of Allah, then they are muhsinun. And those who strive in the path of Allah, verily Allah will guide them. Verily Allah will guide them, and when they make effort. So again, the Shaykh is telling us here, reminding us that this is the greatest of all blessings and bounties, that Allah, He would make the faith beloved to someone, that He would decorate it in their heart, and that He will allow them to taste the sweetness of faith. And along with that, His body parts will comply to the legislation. His body parts will comply to the outward acts, sacred rites of Islam. He will perform them. He will comply to them. He will conform to the regulations of the deen. He will conform to the legal ways and laws of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inwardly and outwardly. Inwardly and outwardly. In every aspect, because this is guidance from the Lord of the worlds. So there's not an aspect from the aspects, or there's not an affair from the affairs of the life of the human being, except there is guidance. Except there is guidance from the Lord of the worlds on how to move and how to live, the guidance on haircuts, guidance on pants, how long they can be, guidance on jilbab, guidance on food, guidance on money, guidance on marriage, guidance on divorce, guidance on marital problems, the guidance in every single, in the restroom, akramukumullah, there's in every affair, there's guidance. And the one who follows it, he is the one who is guided. And the guidance is only good for a person. And it's from the Lord of the worlds. يعني على يعلم من خلق وهو اللطيف الخبير. And so this is the issue. The favor of Allah Azza wa Jal is that one, he will be guided to this. And that he would detest all of the actions that are impermissible. That he would detest and he would hate all of the actions that are impermissible. And this is the favor of Allah Azza wa Jal. Alhamdulillah. So the author, rahimahullah ta'ala, is clarifying that this is the bounty and the favor and the blessing of Allah upon the believers. That they love faith and it's decorated in their heart. And complying to that likewise, any of the success to comply any to the commandments and to submit to the legislation and to abide by the regulations of Al-Islam is a favor from Allah. It's a favor from Allah. And many people, they have the first part, but the second part they're not good in. Those are the ظالم لنفسه. And they have the favor and the blessing of Iman, but then their body parts don't comply so well. So therefore, this is an indication that Iman is deficient, although it's there, alhamdulillah. So if a person, he finds that he has the Iman, alhamdulillah, then this is a favor from Allah. And if he finds that he has the actions along with that, this is a favor from Allah. So again, all of them, they will be humble, they will be thankful. And the Shaykh, again, he clarifies that this is all based upon the knowledge of Allah and His wisdom, that He guide those people to faith in this manner. And he says, رَحِيمَهُ كَمَا ثَبَتَ فِي الصَّحِيحِ مِنْ حَدِيثِ أَنَسٍ رضي الله عنه أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ثلاث من كن فيه وجد بهن حلاوة الإيمان أن يكون الله ورسوله أحب إليه مما سواهما وأن يحب المرأة لا يحبه إلا لله وأن يكره أن يرجع عن دينه كما يكره أن يقذف في النار. Just as has been affirmed in the authentic collections, and this is in Bukhari and Muslim, and from the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said three characteristics, that whoever finds them, and meaning whoever has them, then he will taste by way of them the sweetness of faith. Three characteristics and traits, that whoever has them, whoever possesses them, obtains them, then he will taste the sweetness of faith. The sweetness of faith. Whenever you hear this, what happens to your heart? This portion right here. Yeah, you start waking up. How you want to hear what's three? You're waiting for what's the first one? There's a number of benefits here. This is a clarification of the beautiful teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is called uslub al-tashwiq. And if one from the asarib here is a slub al-tashwik, that we will mention something to you, yani in general, to draw your attention, to get you to hope and to listen and to want to hear the rest. And desiring to hear the rest. So now whenever we hear this, that there are three affairs that whoever has them, he'll taste the sweetness of faith. Now the person, he's thinking to himself, what are they? What is the first one? What is the first one? What is the second? And also mentioning numbers here. Numbers here. Clear, there's three affairs. Like this, like some people they find fault with Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, Usul al-Thalatha, Al-Qawaid al-Arba, Al-Usul al-Sitta. But this is the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes he'll mention like this, sometimes three, sometimes six. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he'll mention numbers. And he'll mention any affairs, principles, rulings, benefits, like this. Like in this hadith, three. This time, three. Three affairs. Three affairs. Whoever finds them, he'll find the sweetness of faith. So this is from the beautiful way of teaching. A person now, he will know that there's three affairs, not four, not two. And then if he is reviewing them, he mentions two of them, he knows there's one left. Or if he remembers one of them, he knows he has to recall two more, like this. So this is from the beautiful way of teaching, and likewise from the ease for the student, making it easy for the student to memorize and to learn, and to learn the knowledge. And an encouragement, likewise, to listen and pay attention. Three affairs that whoever finds them, whoever has them, then he will taste the sweetness of faith. The first one is that Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be more beloved to him than anything else. Will be more beloved to him than anything besides them. Than anything besides them. This is an amazing hadith. And the second affair is that he loves a person, he does not love him except for the sake of Allah. That he loves a person, he does not love him except for the sake of Allah. And that he detests and dislikes to leave his religion, just as he dislikes to be cast in the fire. To be cast in the fire. So we have a foundation here, the fundamental principle, and then we have that which stems from that, the branch affair, and then we have the obligation of avoiding that which is contrary, and staying away from everything that opposes that. And so the first affair and the foundation of the issue is to love Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then stemming from that, loving for the sake of Allah, and then avoiding to oppose that in any manner whatsoever. Hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.